More often than not, the parable that we just heard is read as a simple morality tale, pride versus humility. And we're even provided with the take-home message at the end, "I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other." How often, though, did Jesus tell us such straightforward stories? The entire point of most parables is to unsettle our expectations, to flip our sense of who's right and who's wrong. And for Jesus' first century listeners, the story would have sounded very, very different from how we have been often taught to hear it. So Christian scriptures tend to paint Pharisees in a bad light. They're overly legalistic. They're constantly trying to catch Jesus up. But Jesus' original audience, they wouldn't have thought that. Pharisees were the upright ones. They were pious, if not even overly so. They were seen as the goody-two-shoes or the do-gooders of their day. They were respected as faithful, prayerful leaders. They were people who took God very seriously and tried to live holy lives. You may think of them as the good churchgoers of our day. And it would have been expected that these Pharisees would be sure of their own uprightness with God. And then there's tax collectors. They probably were just about the opposite. They were despised. They were the agents of Rome, of the state. They spent their life swindling their own people in favor of making dirty money for the empire. Kind of think of the opposite, maybe, of Robin Hood. They steal from the poor and give to the rich. And to make matters worse, they spent their lives artificially increasing the taxes so that they could skim a little bit off the top for themselves. After all, that was their primary way of getting paid. They were collaborators, and they were cheats. Let me give you an example. When the Romans conquered Jerusalem in 70 CE, they also looted and destroyed the temple. To celebrate this event, they built the Arch of Titus beside the Colosseum in Rome. And on it, you can see these little depictions of things being taken out of the temple, like the menorah, other things being destroyed. And so I'm sure that you can imagine that this was meant to demean the already conquered Jewish people. And if that wasn't enough, a tax was also levied against the Judean people in order to pay for that arch to be built. And tax collectors, who were themselves Jewish, followed through with collecting this money. So a conquered people were compelled to give money to build a monument that celebrated their own destruction. And it couldn't have been done without tax collectors. So when Jesus begins this parable by saying a Pharisee and a tax collector went up to the temple to pray, his audience would have expected that the Pharisee was going to be the hero and the tax collector is going to be a scoundrel. Let's look. What does the Pharisee actually say? He says, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income." If you notice, the Pharisee's not self-reliant. He isn't righteous on his own. He's thanking God that he is righteous. He is thanking God that God has helped him be righteous. Fast twice a week, far more than he was required to. He gave a tenth of all of his income, again, far more than he was required to do. He very obviously sees himself as righteous because he is. He thanks God for the good fortune of being righteous in a world where it is so hard to be. He isn't humble about it, which is a flaw, but the Pharisee really hasn't done anything wrong. And then what about the tax collector? He beats his breast, he won't even look up to heaven, and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, these are all penitential acts. But there is no actual sense of repentance from him. He never says that he's going to quit this terrible job that he has that makes him use and rob people. He never shares that he will amend his life. He never even alludes to the fact that he wants to amend his life. The Pharisee is righteous, if not a bit haughty about it. And the tax collector is a sinner. I don't know that I could, in good conscience, recommend to anyone that they model their life after either of these fellows. But then comes this twist. I tell you, the tax collector went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. What? The unrepentant sinner wins? He's the justified one? I'm sure I can't be the only one who thinks that that is a terrible take on the parable. And it would be, if there wasn't another possibility. And thankfully, there is. So the brilliant New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine provides a really important insight here. What we hear from our gospel is, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. The rather is the problem. While the Greek word can, I suppose, be translated as rather, it rarely actually means that. Instead, as Amy Jill points out, it is far more common, in fact, almost exclusively, for it to mean alongside, or even because of. So she says, the parable would rightly tell us, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified alongside, or because of, the other. The tax collector went down to his home justified alongside the Pharisee. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and they both went home justified. Levine explains that in Judaism, in Jesus' time, was profoundly communal. Each member of the community, she says, is responsible for the other. Just as one person's sin can stain the whole community, so one person's righteousness can save it. And this ancient idea is called the merit of the ancestors. It's this belief that the goodness of the matriarchs and patriarchs and prophets and the righteous can overflow and bless others. And as Christians, we never abandoned that idea. We just call it something different. We call it the communion of saints or the great cloud of witnesses. The faith, goodness, and prayers of others sustain us when we falter. Our life and our faith is communal. In this parable, the Pharisee's faithfulness and the tax collector's humility meet in the same temple. Now, there's probably no argument that the Pharisee has done more good deeds than the tax collector. He fasts more than he needs to. He gives more than he needs to. He's got these extra good deeds in surplus. But he doesn't have humility. And that's exactly what the tax collector does have. One's righteousness and the other's repentance together create a wholeness that neither could have achieved on their own. The goodness of one blesses the other, and so they can both go home justified. I think finally now, right there, we have gotten to the power of this parable. We need each other. It's baked into how we worship. We say things like, let us pray. We believe. We confess. Our Father sacrificed for us. We give you thanks. Faith is never a solo act. It's always something that we are sharing. We pray for each other, we depend on each other, and we help carry one another into the presence of God. And that is why community matters so much. It's why being present, praying together, singing together, eating together, they shape us into something so much larger than the sum of the parts. Our shared life strengthens what is weak in each of us. So here's the invitation. And you're already off to a good start. Show up. Be present in whatever way you can. Bring your gifts, your prayers, your stories, even your weariness. This community needs you. And you need this community. To those who may be confident, like the Pharisee, I say, your faithfulness strengthens us. To those who are contrite, like the tax collector, I say, your humility blesses us. And to all of you who may fall somewhere in between those extremes, your very presence here matters. Because in God's mercy, we are justified alongside one another. The grace that saves one spills over and saves all of us. We will never make it without each other.